At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Hump Day edition of the Yard. Hope your week is going well. One more week closer to college football. 24 days out for us. There'll be some other games played before we get to play. But yeah, we're getting there. You know, we will have media availability this evening. Most days we've been able to do it around 11:20-ish or so. But today, Bulldogs practicing in the evening hours. So we'll have media availability, I think it's around 7, and we'll have our content up shortly thereafter. For those of you that go to bed early, you can read it in the morning. But if you're looking for player interviews today, you're going to have to wait a little while. But yesterday we had a couple, and let's see who we had yesterday. Let me think. Yeah, we had I'm getting old, guys. I'm getting old. We had Kedrick Bingley-Jones. And he was one, obviously, and we had some expectations for him last year, maybe not a ton, but he showed some value before he got hurt, so that's a part of the deal, I guess, you know. And then Brandon Jennings, who is always a great quote. He is always a great quote. If you haven't read that interview or watched the video, you can do so for free over at jeanspage.com. He is so fun to be around. But nevertheless, we'll have some more players this evening. Thursday is an official day off. You know, the NCAA has the one mandated day off where you can have no mandatory team activities. That's no mandatory film, no weightlifting. You can do what you want to voluntarily, but you can't put anything on the schedule for the one day off. And this week, it's going to fall on Thursday. Now, typically, we've either taken Sunday or Monday off. It's just kind of how things go. You know, Dan Mullen liked to do the Sunday walkthrough to kind of recap the game and then give guys Monday off. I think Lebby, for the most part, has given them Mondays off. But so there's a one NCAA mandated day off this week that falls on Thursday. I will be in observance of the day off. I'm going to be in Carthage, Mississippi, at the alumni event. For those of you that live in that neck of the woods, my sister Nikki, of course, is part of that group. And let's see here, August 7th, which is tomorrow. They're asking me, you know, always ask me, hey, you're going to be good. They're going to get started around 6:30. And if you need more information, you can contact them. We look forward to that. I've had a couple other people ask me about coming to the summer send-off parties, and I haven't confirmed that. It's just so difficult for me this time of year, because everything all year is based on the Mississippi State schedule. And we only learn week to week what that schedule is during football camp. And so sometimes I have to miss events, and sometimes I have to miss practice, like if I've committed to something or something pops up. And fortunately, I've got a big crew, and they can kind of help us with that. But yeah, tomorrow night in Carthage, we'll talk a little football, talk about some other things that are going on. There will be books there available for purchase. So if you're so inclined, you can do that. Yeah, but looking forward to being with you. It's the most northernmost wards in Mississippi, and I would suspect in the United States. So, you know, we'll let you know how that goes. On the last show, I conveniently, or inconveniently, I guess, forgot to do the Kalita Guitars ad. We're getting two today, and I'm going to tell you why, too. Guys, they're running a sale right now, and I'll be honest with you. I've got my eye on an axe. I can't pull the trigger on it yet, but the price is so convenient, it's difficult. I'll be honest with you. I don't play enough or well enough to make a big investment in a guitar. Maybe you do. And if you do, this is the place to go, because you can get stuff at a discount right now. But like, there's this Ibanez Steve Vai signature electric guitar that's whitewashed out, that it's 24% off. Regular price $725. They're selling it for the low price of $549.99. And I'm an Ibanez guy. You know, I grew up in the 80s, you know, and that was like Kramer and Ibanez were like the way to go. And I have an Ibanez now, and it's just kind of an entry level deal, right? But for those of you that are maybe a little more established and make a greater financial investment, you can get a Josat Signature Muscle Car Purple rig for 25% off there too. List price is $4,333. You can get it for the low price of $3,249. Yeah. And I mentioned those things because, hey, you can get pretty much whatever you want in the price range that you're searching for. It's not just electric guitars. Obviously, there's, you can get steel string acoustics. That's not my brand of stuff. Man, I love to hear it. I do. I don't play that. You can get an acoustic steel string. You can get an acoustic guitar. There's flamenco guitars. There are orchestral guitars. Recuento guitars. If you're a righty or a lefty, we can get you filled out there. They got specialty guitars. You can get violins there. How about that? Ukuleles. Maybe you're going to learn to play X's and O's and play it on ukulele. You can. They've even got mariachi instruments. It's everything you need, man. You get pedals, processors, amps, mics, capos, cases, footstools, guitar rests, humidifiers, instrument stands, parts, tools, straps, anything you need. Guys, this is your guitar shop out of Lake Jackson, Texas. Visit CalidoGuitars.com. You'll be glad you did. CalidoGuitars.com. This is a big league place, okay? This is a big league place, Calido Guitars. Be sure and check them out. I wanted to give you some featured products today. And again, when you shop at CalidoGuitars.com, use promo code BSR, and that gives you a 10% discount. It gives you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. It gives you free shipping, and they make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund of any purchase you make. Whether you go in person, whether you go online, or you call over the phone, they can accommodate you. Great service before, during, and after the sale. It is my guitar shop. It is your guitar shop. Calido Guitars. All right, let's jump on in here. First segment of the show brought to you by Bulldog Burger Company. Longtime sponsors of the show. We love them because there's such a consistency there. And I've talked about it routinely. And guys, I can tell you, my son works there. And thank you so much for so many that have tipped so graciously, but also, too, that have sent messages to Dane and I both about what a fine young man he is. We tend to think so, too, but we're a bit biased. It's nice to know when you send your children out in the wild that they're exemplifying the values that you wish to instill in them. He loves working for Bulldog. He does. That's where all his friends are. He hangs out with much of the Bulldog Burger crew outside of work. He tells me all the time how great things are, how well he's treated. And you know what that leads to? Your great employers tend to have great employees. And so in turn, they provide great service to their customers, which I believe is one of the reasons the Bulldog Burger Company has become an institution. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Find your own favorites. Again, if you're a newbie to Bulldog, get the Bulldog Burger. You can't go wrong, ever. Like, if you only ate a Bulldog Burger the rest of your life would be sustained and fulfilled. You wouldn't really feel like you missed anything. I mean, you couldn't go wrong with just like, hey, every time I go, I'm going to get a Bulldog Burger. Every time I want a burger, I'm going to Bulldog Burger Company, and I'm only going to get the Bulldog. You know what? You're going to have a great life. It's true. Because I don't just eat for sustenance. I eat for enjoyment. That's one of the reasons I love eating at Bulldog Burger Company. Put my feet under their table, let them take care of everything else. Great food, great price, great atmosphere. Everything is great at Bulldog Burger Company. Find your own favorites. Again, I've kind of been on a kick here. I've done the Freshman 15 a couple times here as of late. The Pimentology at Bacon always kind of brings me back in. It'll put some hair on your chest. It will. That's not for the faint of heart, right? Be sure and check that out. And then get the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. I thought we would do something a little different today. You know, we have talked so much, really, since the moment that Jeff Lebby got here, about the players that he's brought in. big portal class. I mean, over 60 new players this year. You know, it's a much different team. And sometimes in the middle of all of that, you know, thinking about the new toys, we forget about the old ones. So I'm going to run this down for you. The players that Jeff Lebby inherited that are still here. All right, are you good with that? You feel good about that? Because I can guarantee you, many of you are going to be shocked at how few there are. I mean, some of you can do the math, but at the same time, too, some of these guys are difference makers for Mississippi State. You know, that's one of those things you look at, too. You know, it's like you don't just want guys to stay for the sake of staying, you want them to make a contribution to your program. You know, it's not just, you know, we're working on APR, which is crazy to think that used to be such a big deal. Really not so much anymore. But, you know, it's still something they track, but there's a lot of variables now that have to be considered when you work through all that stuff. But nevertheless, is it just me or like every time you open something, like if something's asking for an update, you need an update for this. If you want this, you got to get this extension, blah, 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 blah. I just want things to work, okay? I just want things to work. And maybe I'm asking too much. Maybe that's just me. But I just want things to work. I just want things to work. And then they don't. You know, then all of a sudden you got to do this new update. But anyway, I'm whining now. I apologize for that aspect of it. But I just want things to work. All right, so Kelly Jones is back. You know, Kelly, of course, redshirted in 23. And when we say back, we're talking about guys that were on the roster in 2023. Of course, that was the Zach Arnett year. So those players were already here when Jeff Lebby got here. Whether they redshirted or they contributed, or whether they didn't redshirt or contribute and they just were here, these are guys that are still left over from that 2023 season. Do you understand the parameters now? Shake your head if you do. I can hear some of it rattling out there in radio land. But Kelly Jones is a guy that, you know, we expect him to take a jump this year. And we're excited about, you know, the prospects. He's the fastest guy on the team. And we keep hearing this all the time. Brennan Thompson kind of mentioned the other day that he likes to draw Kelly because Kelly is the fastest guy on the defense. He believes he's the fastest guy on the offense, so he likes the foot race. And I asked him point blank who'd win the foot race, and of course he grins and says he will. But Kelly was a guy, obviously, that was very much a developmental guy. Played a little safety, played quarterback, was a star at Big Dog Camp that year. And of course some people out there said he's going to grow into a safety. He's thinly framed. He's never going to grow into a safety. And he's quick twitching after play corner. But back in 23, he played three games, didn't record any stats. And in 2024, last year, his redshirt freshman year, played in 11 games, made four starts, had 29 tackles, and also broke up a pass. Had a really good game against Ole Miss, even though he didn't record but one tackle, because how many times they try to run the fade to Kelly's side, and it just wasn't there. Yeah, and so a lot of times with corners, you don't get a lot of highlight video because if they do their job, the quarterback goes somewhere else with the football. Right? I mean, sometimes there's a design read, and you're going to go out there right out of the gate and take a shot. But if a corner is locked his guy up, the quarterback's going elsewhere with the football. Isaac Smith, obviously, you know him well. And again, every time that I see Isaac, I just want to go up and hug him and say, man, thanks for staying with us. I saw him and Brennan Thompson downtown yesterday. What a mess it is downtown these days. But saw them downtown going to get some grub at the cafe. But, yeah, Isaac has been a dude, man, and I think one of the reasons that we all love him as much as we do is because of the fact that he has remained loyal to Mississippi State. Played in all 12 games back in 23 as a true freshman, and then last year, of course, an all-SEC performer. 11 games, 11 starts. It said he missed one game due to an injury at Texas. I believe that is correct. Ended the season with 127 tackles. Led the SEC, won the best in the country, seventh in the country. And so, you know, that's a big piece to inherit and to still kind of have out here remaining with your program and believing. And, you know, one of the reasons that Isaac does, it's because of all of you. you know, he feels comfortable here at Mississippi State. Next player, Jordan Mosley. You know, of course, he transferred in from Northwestern after just one season up there. Didn't do a whole lot, 23. You know, he redshirted in 22, had the redshirt year. I guess his true freshman year was 21. Played in three games and then transferred to State and then redshirted. So redshirt sophomore year was 23. Did a few things here and there, right? Not a lot, but some. And a lot of people were like, well, we need more from him. Well, you got more last year from him. Career year for him. 7 starts in 12 games. Caught the first touchdown pass in a Jeff Lebby era. 23 passes, 405 yards. And a guy that we're expecting to take a jump this year. Very well-spoken guy. We're excited about him. Need him, obviously, to be a dude for us. Deontay Anderson, you may recall, he was part of the COVID group. And he's been here throughout his career. Obviously, he was a prep All-American. They didn't play the game that year, but... you know, a guy that's, you know, played kind of sparingly, 28 career appearances with 5 starts, 58 tackles, 5.5 TFLs, a sack, 4 pass breakups. But, yeah, we're going to need him. He changed his number this year from 91 to 6, just so you guys know, too. But 11 games last year with 3 starts and 18 tackles. But, yeah, we need more of him. And, you know, this is a guy we were obviously very, very excited about when he got here. Has been basically a role player. Zachary Tolman, we spoke about him extensively on the Monday show. I think he's going to be a dude. Matter of fact, I won't give it away, but in Brian Haydad's media poll, I had some comments about Zachary. All right? And Zachary, of course, in 23, is a true freshman. Right, played all 11 games, or appeared 11 games. Pardon me, we had 12 that year. As a special teams guy, did get in there a little bit, played 99 snaps, majority of that coming on special teams. Had a couple tackles against LSU, and then last year, 12 games in one start, 30 tackles, 3.5 for a loss, 3.5 sacks, 2 pass breakups, a forced fumble, fumble recovery, an interception, a blocked field goal, and he got a punt. You know, there's just, the guy's a playmaker, and I think this year is going to be a breakout season for him. And that's the thing I look back and say, it's a really good piece to inherit because that's a guy that's not going to be demanding a bunch of money as soon as you get here. Sadu Traore, of course, it feels like, you know, that he probably deserves some type of compensation because of how all this stuff has worked out. You know, 2-time transfers, right? Remember, the rules have changed now. You know, he was one of the guys that was kind of penalized for being a 2-time transfer. He goes to Arkansas State, transfers to Colorado, and then has to sit out because he transfers to Mississippi State the same year. So he has to sit out 23 season. And then last year he gets on the field and has his most extensive action on the college level. You know, back when he was at Arkansas State, he started 11 games, played in 12, you know, had some decent numbers there. But last year, snap count was good, caught 34 passes, 361 yards, so maybe not statistically as good as that final year at Arkansas State, playing against better competition too. But, yeah, that's a nice piece to inherit, too, especially for a guy that likes to use a tight end. But we need Sadu to have a career year this year. Hunter Washington, and it feels like Hunter's been here forever. And, you know, Hunter makes the move over from Florida State, and he has become a bit of a fan and a team favorite. And I can tell you that there are a lot of people on this staff that love Hunter Washington. Out of Katy, Texas, of course. But Hunter is a guy that has become a real leader in this locker room. And, again, it feels like he's been here forever. You know, started out the career at Florida State. And then in 2022, was in 9 games. Gets here and becomes a bit of a regular. He appeared in 5 games, 4 starts, had some injuries. And then in 2024, a career year for him. We need him to at least match those numbers. Started all 12 games last year, 55 tackles, 1.5 for loss, a couple breakups, a pick, forced fumble, fumble recovery. And, yeah, we you know, this is a guy that maybe he doesn't always flash on the highlight reel, but he does a good job, and he is a guy in these your preseason workouts, and he has been one of those guys that has been a true leader for your Bulldogs. Seth Davis still here, and a lot of guys were really excited about him in 23 because he played as a true freshman. You know, he had some big runs too. You know, didn't start. I guess he made one start. Yeah. And 359 yards and a touchdown on 59 carries. Had a big run against Auburn, too, if you remember that. And then gets the ACL tear against Ole Miss. And in some respects, he has kind of been a forgotten name. And I think that's unfortunate. Missed all of last year. He was hustling trying to get back because he missed it. And the right decision was made, okay? Take the redshirt year. Get the redshirt year back. Get completely healthy. They were very careful with him in the spring. And made some really nice catches the other day. So, yeah, we do see a role for him. And we talk so much about running back depth. And even I have forgotten the times to mention his potential. And Anthony Tucker, when he spoke, hasn't really talked about him, too. I think in some respects we're looking at him as a bonus back. But he has some ability. It takes a little while for guys to kind of get going again. But, again, Seth, the guy that, you know, has been here for a while. Trevion Williams. You know, he's going to be playing more five tech this year. I think that's probably where he fits, and hopefully that helps the pass rush. They've got him listed at 6'4", 295. He doesn't look it. I mean, and I mean that in the best way possible. You know, he doesn't look like a near 300-pounder. He really doesn't. Really athletic guy. And a huge recruiting win for Mississippi State. Part of the 2022 class, he redshirted that year, and then, of course, played in three games, got hurt, got a medical hardship. Comes back, 24. So he's still got some eligibility left. My hope is he has a good enough season he can get drafted. He has NFL potential, but he simply hadn't been healthy. So 11 games last year, 3 starts, 33 tackles, 2 for a loss. Led all state defensive linemen in tackles. And I get it, that's not a big group, but considering the amount of tackles that we missed. But we need Trevion to be a dude for us this year. Again, solid building block in that respect. Calvin Dinkins, you know the story of Dink, man, and Dink's looking good.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And that was another late addition from Lake High School. And unfortunately, we've lost him in the season opener back-to-back years. I've joked with them, they don't play him in week one against Southern Miss. But Dink looks like what you would expect an SEC interior defensive lineman to look like. 6'2", 320. He wears it well. You see him walking around the streets of Starkville. He's not some big puzzle-gutted guy that's just out there to create a mess. This is an athlete. This is a big-time athlete, and unfortunately, he just hadn't been able to play. You know, redshirted in 22, played in one game in 23, gets hurt against Southeastern, 3 tackles in the game. He's out for the year. 2024, plays against Eastern Kentucky, gets a sack, couple tackles, out for the year. And so hopefully, we can get him going because he can be a very valuable piece to this Mississippi State defensive front. That's the thing, again, you look at – we talk about the depth, lack of depth last year, and again, you work through all this, right? You know, Dinkins getting hurt. You know, Trevion not being 100% at times. You know, there's so much of that. You know, guys getting dismissed. You know, I mean, there was a lot too. We didn't have much depth to speak of, and then we had some injuries and some disciplinary stuff we had to address on top of it. But Dink is a dude, and I think sometimes he gets forgotten about. I'm going to tell you, he is as good or more talented than most of the guys that we added from the portal. We just got to keep him healthy. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, man. Nick Mitchell, a guy, I'll be honest with you, I thought he was going to be a career special teams guy. I really did. And we needed him to play last year. He had the best year of his career by far. Started all 12 games, had 80 tackles, 3.5 for a loss, a couple pass breakups, and a pick. And it's taken a while. You know, I mean, it's just a guy. People forget this. We signed him back in 21. Played a couple games, was able to redshirt. A special teams guy in 2022. In 23, appears in 12 games. Largely special teams guy. And then last year, he stepped it up. And a very, very intelligent young man, a guy that's got a lot to say. And so he'll have an opportunity this year to kind of maybe have the year that he's always kind of envisioned for himself. But 39 career games, a dozen starts, all of them coming last year. And played in 38 straight games. That's a nice streak, you know. How about that? But, yeah, we need Nick. I mean, even if Nick is just a two-deeper, you know, that's a guy that can help us. Of course, that's a product out of Mandarin High School in Jacksonville, Florida. And there's Joseph Head. He was a guy who was a big, big win, recruiting win for us early. And Joe is another guy, too, that has had some injuries. And, we need him to kind of realize his potential. This is a guy we were extremely excited to get. We hadn't gotten much out of him yet. And some of that's been, again, just kind of finding a sense of himself, but also getting healthy. But one game in 2023 against Western Michigan, didn't record a stat. And then last year, he played in 12 games, no starts, but made 11 tackles last year. Again, working primarily as a reserve. But, this is a guy, too, that we think has some real potential. I don't know that he's going to be maybe a, quote, difference maker, but I think he can be a very solid contributor. And this is a guy, too, that, you know, grew up wanting to come to Mississippi State. Cannon Boone, another guy, big recruiting win for Mason Miller when he was here to flip him from Virginia Tech. And Boone kind of came into his own last year and got, you know, lost the year due to the ACL injury against Arkansas. Pretty interesting career. And again, this is a guy that's been here for a while. Redshirted in 21, played just one game in 22. In 23, kind of saw it pick up a little bit, right? 8 games, 45 snaps, that's not much, but did not allow a sack or commit a penalty that year. And, again, a guy that we felt like was kind of coming to his own last year, played in 7 games and began to be a regular guy in the rotation, played 165 snaps last year, including 56 against Texas A&M. And next thing you know, he's done against Arkansas. And so, again, that's a piece. Is he a starter? Is he a rotation guy? I don't know. But, again, that's a guy that when we got him, we were awfully excited to get him. And there's Albert Reese, another big win for Mason Miller. Ole Miss thought they were going to flip him, and in turn it's Mississippi State that flips him. And, of course, the Hull Award winner last year. You know, that's an important aspect, too. This is a guy that's already got his degree. You know, a guy that's been on the academic honor roll. His mom makes it down from Canada every now and again, but he's played 40 career games, 13 starts, and started all 12 games for us last year, primarily at right tackle, a couple games at guard, and I'm interested to see how Phil Lodeholt uses him. And again, you know, the Ken Hull Trophy is not just one of those things that they just give away just for the sake of giving it away. It's got, you know, the name of somebody that's very important to all of us. Ken Hull. But we need Reese to be good. And again, we kind of touched on the offensive line back on Monday's show about so many of these guys have got experience on the Power 4 level and certainly some within the Southeastern Conference. And the one guy that I didn't mention, because I think technically he's a walk-on, but it's Kyle Ferry. That's another great piece to be able to inherit. And again, very consistent guy with us, and we love Kyle. We do. And Kyle loves it here. Kyle's got family that love Mississippi State. You know, got a lot of folks down around Kosciuszko, you know. But, yeah, I mean, Kyle's a dude. You know, Kyle was one of these guys, too. How many years did we go when we didn't have a kicker we could depend on? I feel confident that Kyle's going to make it every time he runs out there. That's how I feel. I mean, I think he's earned that. But, yeah, so 15 players, counting Kyle, there are 15 scholarship slash regular contributors left from the 2023 season. Maybe they didn't contribute a lot then. But as far as players that Jeff Lebby inherited once he got here that remain here, just 15 of them. So it very much is his team. It very much is a team of his construction. And I think that's one of those things you look at. It's a way you know, take some time to get your players. With the transfer portal, it doesn't take nearly as long. And again, you begin to think about 60-plus new players coming in this year, you know, on the 105-man roster. It's a completely different dynamic. And so we'll see how things progress. But I do think it's interesting that every one of those guys is still here, has made some type of contribution, with rare exception. Some of these guys have been really good for us, and some guys have been a little bit banged up and haven't had an opportunity to really show what they can do. We got to stay healthy this year. But I mean, this is a good group. This is a good group of guys, and hopefully they become great players. You know, that's the thing. You don't get to hang around if you're a bad actor. And I can personally vouch for these guys here and tell you that these are good dudes, you know. And so my hope is they play up to their potential this year. But if you begin to think about being a veteran team, many of these guys will be juniors this year. Some guys will be seniors this year. We need them to play as upperclassmen. We do. We need them to realize their potential to help us get to where we want to go. All right, another Koleto Guitars ad is coming. But before we get to that, we've got to do our player of the day. And I think when I look back at these returning players, I'm going to go with Kyle Ferry because of the fact that Kyle has removed so much anxiety from the Mississippi State fan base. There were so many times, even during the Leach era, that we'd run a kicker out there, all due respect to everybody, and we all held our breath. It's true. There were times in the Kroom era that we held our breath on extra points and all that kind of stuff. But Kyle Ferry has come in and developed into a player that we can count on. And he is a guy that wants to be on the field to make that game-winning kick. He craves those moments. So tip of the cap today to Kyle Ferry, Mississippi State's starting kicker. How about that? Again, brought to you by closeatblair.com. C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. That's Blair Chandler. My friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. His number, 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. That goes directly to him. That's not a call center. That's not a receptionist, a personal assistant. That's directly to Blair. And I feel like that we owe that to each other, that we can communicate directly with each other when we can. But if you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, look no further than Blair Chandler. He can also help you maybe secure that game day condo you've always wanted. You always wanted to have a place here in Starkville. Maybe perhaps that becomes your retirement home. You maybe can downsize and just enjoy the greater Starkville area. Yeah, check out Blair Chandler, licensed to practice in multiple states, 24 years of experience. Get his expertise and know-how working for you at closeatblair.com. All right, time for today's top 10 list, brought to you by Koleto Guitars. Visit them in person in Lake Jackson, Texas. It's an owned and operated Bulldog business. I have broken bread with these folks. Great people. Grandma still lives here in Starkville. You know, so they get back from time to time to see her and to enjoy some Mississippi State sporting events. We're so proud to partner with them. And again, I've got some Koleto guitar merch. I've got the guitar stand. I've told you guys a million times, do not lean your guitar up against the wall. Don't do it. Don't do it. You're just going to bend the neck, and then you're going to be in the market for a new guitar. I've told you guys, great sale going on now, but you always get the Ken Folks discount by being a Boneyard listener. Again, promo code BSR. That gets you 10% discount, free shipping, no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas, and a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. Again, this website is outstanding. You know, so if you've just kind of thought, well, this is just some of Steve's friends. Well, number one, yes, they are. But my friends are typically overachievers. My friends are people that typically do things the way they need to be done. And that's what Kalito Guitars does. So check out KalitoGuitars.com today. You got, again, name, brand, quality instruments available to you at a discounted price just by listening to the Boneyard. Check it out today. You'll be glad you did. Whether you need a beginner guitar or a professional grade guitar, guitar cases, gig bags, accessories. You heard me run through all that stuff earlier. It's not just a guitar place. It's primarily a guitar shop, but they work basically with all stringed instruments. So if you've got a violin or a fiddle player or a ukulele player in your house or in your family, you can surprise them with a new instrument courtesy of KalitoGuitars.com. All right. I got roasted a little bit by a friend of mine, and they were not the only person to mention an omission when we did our Ozzy series. And I have to only apologize. There was one song in particular that these two people said, dude, how could you do all of these Ozzy top 10s and not include this one? I said, you know what, you're right. So we're going to do top 10 Ozzy collaborations today. Now, there have been some wild ones. Ozzy's voice has been used not just as a sample, but as an original performance many times. He's actually done some rap stuff, believe it or not. Yeah. We're going to include one of those in our list today. But there's a lot of stuff out there that Ozzy has been a part of over the years. I can only begin to imagine what that cost. But nevertheless, Ozzy was a guy that was very generous with his time when he had it and always liked to help out his friends. He worked with many of his friends and his idols. But anytime we can work the Wu-Tang Clan into the show, we want to. And this is a song that a lot of people didn't like. I dig it. And I'm an Ozzy guy, and I'm also a Wu-Tang guy. But it's For Heaven's Sake 2000 from the Wu-Tang. I've seen some lists out there where, you know, people are like, oh, this just doesn't work. And there's a lot of people out there, man, that they just want to keep us in a box. You know what I mean? They want to keep us segregated by certain things that we love or like. And, you know, and I think this was an example of that. There were some gatekeepers of the rap community who are like, oh, you know, you shouldn't have an interloper like Ozzy Osbourne. I think it's ridiculous, man. I think when you can get great artists together to perform something, it kind of allows you the opportunity to kind of cross over and open yourself up to other listeners. You know, now one of the things I didn't do, I did not include any of the collaborations that Ozzy did with any of his Black Sabbath mates, even on their solo albums, because I feel like that's just kind of part of the Black Sabbath tree. So I elected to kind of pass on that. I mentioned some other things, collaborations, kind of wild ones. You remember Was Not Was, you know, Walk the Dinosaur, and how silly that song was? It was a hit, though. It's Don Was, legendary producer, but it's so silly. They released a song back in 83 called Shake Your Head. They re-recorded it in 92 and had the lovely Kim Basinger and then Ozzy Osbourne as a part of the song. So that's kind of a cool thing. Miss Piggy did a version of Ozzy Born to Be Wild. That's pretty crazy. And then a Crystal Method with DMX, ODB, and Ozzy Nowhere to Run. That's another one that's a little bit different. And you know, you can find some of these on your own. But number nine, you know, Ozzy credited the Beatles' song She Loves You as his introduction into saying that's what I want to do. He had a chance to work on Ringo Starr's Vertical Man album, and the title track of that album features Ozzy Osbourne singing backing vocals. Now, some of these songs, too, are a little bit farther down the list because Ozzy wasn't a huge part of it. That's kind of one of them. Number eight, Gary Moore. And the great Gary Moore, and God rest his soul, Gary Moore died, was it 15 years ago now? But Gary was a guy that was kind of a musician's musician, and he was offered to join several bands over the years, but he elected not to. He just did a string of solo albums, did everything his way. He toured with Thin Lizzy, and Phil Lynott, of course, had asked him many times to just join the band full-time. He never did it. But Gary, great track with Ozzy called Lead Clones, and I think you're going to really dig that guitar tone, too. Number seven, Infectious Grooves. Do you know much about Infectious Grooves? Do you know who Mike Muir is? Yeah, you know Suicidal Tendencies? Well, yeah, Mike had a side project called the Infectious Grooves, and Ozzy was part of a wild track called Therapy. Yeah, so you got Suicidal and Ozzy coming together. Big contrast in styles, but true to the metal for sure. Number six, I love this song. I do. I absolutely love it. I jam it in my car. Got a chance to see Alice Cooper in Tupelo with Ace Frehley here a couple years ago. The homie, Sam Denton, my homie, had a great time. It was great. But Hey Stupid. Yeah, Hey Stupid. And it's really a song like to young musicians. But don't get caught up in drugs. Ace Frehley, of course, is a guy that has struggled some with alcoholism, and I understand that he's in much better shape these days. But Alice has been a staunch advocate for the recovery community many years. And again, I go back to this whole Ozzy thing. You know, Alice Cooper is a character. He used to do all of this, black magic type stuff on stage, and, you know, the guillotine and all that stuff too. But like, if you ever hear Alice Cooper speak about his recovery and things about, he's just a regular guy that has a really cool job. And so Ozzy sang backing vocals on Hey Stupid. Number five, bit of a duet here. Let Me Kill Meister and Motorhead featured Ozzy on this great track. And it's I Ain't No Nice Guy. And it's the closest thing to a ballad that you'll ever hear from Motorhead. But when Lemmy got really sick, Ozzy made the trip to go see him. They were brothers in arms in many respects. And it's just, you know, again, we're losing legends for sure. Number four, and I like this song. It probably wouldn't be as high on some of your list, and that's okay. You can start your own show, build your own following. That's cool. But it's Rob Zombie with Ironhead, and Ozzy's part of this. It is one of those very, very zombified tracks, and then you hear the classic vocal of Ozzy Osbourne as a part of it. I think it works exceptionally well. Number two is actually a cover. And I don't know if you know much about the history of the song, but Peter Gabriel recorded it himself. And it was a bit of a hit on MTV. You know, they were looking for content. Of course, Peter Gabriel, of course, former member of Genesis. Cold Chamber covers it, Shock the Monkey. And Ozzy is in the video and does part of the vocal. And ordinarily, we don't do a lot of covers on the show, but we're doing collaborations, and we got to do it, you know. I think it works. I like the Cold Chamber version better than the Peter Gabriel adult contemporary version. That's just my feelings. You may feel differently. Number one, though, and the song that everybody whipped me for, and you're right, I have no defense, but it fits this category. It's Ozzy working with Lita Ford. It's Close My Eyes Forever. Arguably the best duet in the history of that genre. Would that be fair to say? And Lita Ford, oh, we all loved her so much. Oh, my gosh. Like, she, like, and excuse my language, right? But, like, she was the chick, right? Everybody loved her. And she says Nikki Sixx was, like, her first true love. And, you know, but we loved her because of the fact, number one, she could play and she could rock and she was beautiful. She still is. Again, have made some interesting tattoo choices over the years. But, yeah, Close My Eyes Forever was a great track, and Lita has said in recent days in interviews that a lot of this was written when Ozzy and Sharon were having some trouble, that everything was cool, and then when Sharon showed up at the studio, the energy got a little bit weird with Ozzy, and then she left, and the next thing you know, he basically knocks down these incredible lyrics, and I think it's Lita Ford's signature song. There's a lot about Lita that I love, I do, but when you get through with this track, this is just one of those songs. It was just perfect. And when it came out, it was like everybody of us that was involved, right, in that community, when it came to hard rock music, when you heard this, you were just like, you know what, this is a classic song. We were experiencing greatness in the moment. And it was amazing. And it still is. The song still holds up. And that 12-string guitar is just perfect. But it's incredible to think about this song was personal to Ozzy, even though he was a co-vocalist on a Lita Ford album. And I think it shows how selfless that he was. But also, too, there's so much of a genuine article when it comes to Ozzy Osbourne, and that his heart was in this. A lot of people write for an audience. I think true artists write for themselves. And that's one of the things that I wanted to share too. If we kind of wrap this thing up, this whole thing on Ozzy. And again, we've talked before about, you know, Ozzy telling us all he loved us and things of that nature. This is probably the best advice I can ever give you. Be your authentic self. Be yourself in everything you do. Because you're never truly going to find your tribe if you fake it, right? If you go out there and say things that maybe you believe are untrue, whether they be political or spiritual or emotional, just to keep the peace, you're never going to be happy. Never. You're never going to find your tribe. You know, that's one thing. Gosh, it's been, you know, half of my life, right? I mean, I tried to do all the right things for everybody else. It's like, well, I'll do this. And then one day I said, you know what? I'm just going to be me. I'm going to grow my hair out. I'm going to get tattoos. I'm going to speak how I want to speak. I'm going to report as I want to report. I'm going to be me. I'm going to make me happy, right? Because the happy version of me makes other people happy. If you're not happy, and happy is a fleeting emotion. I guess really the point is to be satisfied with who and what we are. That's more important, right? Because, I mean, if you ask me, like, middle of the night, Steve, you happy? Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of become like a social custom. But, you know, true happiness, again, is kind of a fleeting emotion. It's having a sense of contentment with who we are and what we are. And the thing that I have learned in life is that when I have to fake it, I'm only making myself miserable. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not being fair to those people either. You know, sometimes, especially when it comes to relationships, we fall into a sake of comfortability, right? And it's like, well, you know, she's hot and I can put up with this. There are certain topics I'll avoid, you know, and some of that's just kind of being mature about a relationship. But if you got to be less of who you are to be part of a relationship, that relationship is doomed to failure from the start. Because there's somebody else out there that is a lot more like you. Like, hey, this is what I believe in life. This is what I believe religiously. This is what I believe politically. And some of those things you may not have strong opinions on, but there are going to be other things you're very passionate about. And if you can't share the full color of who you are with the people that you love, then you're cheating both yourself and them. Be your true and authentic self. Period. This musical project thing is coming up. Guys, I am 53 years old. Okay, I have not sung other than just sitting in with some friends in forever, right? I haven't had to do it. And I may make a fool out of myself, but you know what? I don't care. And I had a conversation with a friend of mine earlier today, and he called to kind of offer his support, a guy that I have loved my entire life. One of our first interactions, I think, was in the fourth grade, and I sucker punched him and gave him a black eye. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, we've been friends that long. Yeah. We were friends before then, but he was kind of picking on me about something. And I didn't like what he had to say, and I was just a kid. But he has gotten me out of some big stuff. You know, he has been there with me and loved me. And the guy's name is Ernie Turner. Many of you know him. I love Ernie. And if Ernie called me in the middle of the night and was stranded on the side of the road or was in some type of despair, I would get in the car and go. I wouldn't have to think about it. You know, I would go. And we began to kind of talk about some of this stuff. And the reality of it is this. Is like when we release this video, this live performance, there are going to be some people that go watch the video because they're supportive of me. There are going to be some other people that go watch it that are maybe somewhat intrigued. There are going to be other people that it just kind of crosses their timeline. They watch it by accident. There's going to be another segment of people that are going to go look at it and listen to it and hope that they can find a way to make fun of me. And you know what? I don't care. At the end of the day, the message of hope is being delivered. I'm not a professional musician anymore. I'm not. And there are times I wish I was. I look like one. I'm not. But we got a group of people that are getting together, everybody that's been somewhat impacted by suicide, and we're going to speak about this, and we're going to put this great song together that is a cover. And we're going to do what we can to promote the 988 suicide prevention number. And I give Katie Babb from SiriusXM a lot of credit, man. She does it all the time. And she did it back when it was a longer number before it was 988. And my friend Joe Mason sent me a picture of the signs going up in Baton Rouge of the 988 number going up. And when I wrote the post on Facebook kind of explaining what we were doing and why we were doing it, people were like, I've never heard of this. 988, what's this about? That's why you do it. We're not trying to get a record deal. We're just trying to do something that we think, number one, will be meaningful for other people and it'll be a little fun for us. But at the end of the day, I don't care why people watch it. I just hope they do. And I hope they share it on social media, whether you like me or not. Because you never know who may run across that at the time they need it the most, right? And this is me being my authentic self with all of you, right? You know, it's been a long time since I've been on stage and had to sing a song. I've been part of praise teams, right? I've sat in with friends, my buddy Brian Jones. I sit in with him sometimes. Sat in with Ryan Person, the guys at Four Way Stop. But I've got a lot of friends that, hey, you want to come up and sing? Sure, sure. It's a different dynamic. And this is going to be an emotional time for me. I'm a suicide survivor, as you guys know. And I don't hide that from anybody. I tried to kill myself back in 1991. I did. I had an overdose on purpose. And the good Lord decided to spare me. A very, very interesting kind of supernatural experience. I wrote about that in When the Bottom Falls. And I'm not going to bore you with the details of all that now. It was very, very, very important to me. To me, it provided evidence, true evidence that God was real. And so this is a cause that's very important to me. And as I think I've shared with you guys, I've been to six, and I think I'm wrong. I think it's actually seven. I've been to seven funerals in the last 14 months of people that I know are people that I've met that have committed suicide. And I'm tired of losing people. I'm tired of going back to Columbia, Mississippi to see a bunch of classmates as we sob once again over a friend that has chosen to take their life. And I don't know any other way to fix it other than to promote awareness. But the one thing that I do know is that I have done worse things to myself than the devil ever could, like this side of eternity, right? And here's the thing that I have learned through all of that. Whether it be addiction or depression, and everybody has an affliction, no matter what they tell you, no matter what people are wanting to admit on social media, everybody has a cross to bear. And that's Bible. Everybody does. Nobody is going to get out of this life without having to choose. It's true. And so one of the things that I think, and I read this stuff in the papers all the time, I'm almost at a point now, I just want to just like block all newspapers. Truly. One of the biggest decisions I ever made in my life is when I moved to Starkville. I quit following all the Baton Rouge news stations just on social media because it was just so depressing. But there are a lot of people out there that are in pain. And they're carrying burdens that we are not aware of. And I think the most important thing we can do in life is to love each other and to be open and vocal about that. Don't just be, you know, one that you just think they know. Well, you know that I love you. Some days I don't. I may know intellectually, but there are some days when life's beating me up a little bit that I need to be reminded. And that's, again, me being authentic with you. That's me. There are some days that I feel like nobody loves me. It's true. That's how I feel. It doesn't last long, but those happen. You know, it's like days when I've been on the grind for a while and, you know, maybe I'm under pressure and there's all these things going on. And there is no shortage of people reaching and grabbing, asking me for something all the time. All the time. And sometimes it gets to me. And I need somebody to remind me, hey, I love you. And, you know, when I go back home, I say, this is home. When I go back to Columbia, I have people that will tell me, you know, some people I hadn't seen in 25 years. Like, dude, I'm so proud of you. And I hate to come across like a delicate little flower, but this is just kind of me being honest. That's what recovery has taught me to be, is to be honest. And that was one thing the wife brought up the other night. You know, we're watching some show and somebody shared something. They're like, oh, I never knew you felt that way. And I said, I hope you never feel that way. I hope you never feel like you don't know how I feel about stuff. And I hope I never know a day where you're holding something back from me. And of course, over the course of, you know, 30 plus years in a relationship, that's going to happen. You know, sometimes you keep things from each other. And sometimes you keep things where maybe, you know, the world is eating your lunch. And you're like, I just don't want you to worry about me. I don't want you. Guys, that's what a relationship is about. It's about picking each other up. Because it's going to be some days she's going to be strong and I'm not, and vice versa. you know. And so I share that with you. It is absolutely okay to not feel good. It's not okay to keep wallowing in it, though, and ruminating over it and things of that nature. It's so important to understand that. But I love each and every one of you, even if we have never met. And I don't just love you because you listen to the show. I love you because I want you to have the same things that I want for myself. I don't want anybody to suffer, right? Now, there are some people out there that do, you know, things, and they have to be held accountable for that. And I absolutely agree with that. I was held accountable, and I continue to get held accountable when I do something. You know, I may not pick up the trash out here quick enough one day, and all of a sudden, hey, well, you know, things happen, right? Or don't happen. But the reality of it is that there is just so much of this that kind of happens in the world that sometimes we get so busy we forget to check on each other. And we just kind of assume, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, somebody kills themselves. And we're like, oh, I never saw it coming. Well, of course not, because they kept it from you. And so I encourage you, if you're a person that's feeling that way, speak to somebody. I don't care if it's a pastor, a counselor, therapist, go to an AA meeting, an NA meeting, a Sex Addicts Anonymous meeting, a Gamblers Anonymous meeting, or whatever. I can promise you, I have never felt worse walking out of a meeting than I did walking in, right? And even if you're not ready to profess those things publicly, go speak to somebody privately, because everybody needs somebody they can talk to. And I can promise you this, I will never judge any of you, ever, ever. I'm in no position to do so, right? I just don't judge people. I don't. There are a lot of people that have made some very difficult decisions in life that maybe are not the decisions that I would make. And it blows up in their face. And they come back and they expect me to say, I told you so. I just say, I love you, man. I love you. Let's figure it out. We'll figure it out together. And how many people in your life need that assurance from you, right? I hope that you offer it. Next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart. And why? Because they have the things we want. We can't get enough Mississippi State merch, whether it be apparel, gift ideas, or everything you need to detail out your fan cave. You can find it at Campus Bookmart. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job. She's bulldog through and through. She knows what we want. It's kind of like, you know, when mom would go buy you school clothes and she hit a home run every time. That's what Kathy Brown does for you at Campus Bookmart. When I go in, I get the complimentary hug. Maybe you don't. Perhaps that's just me. But I love going in there. I feel like those folks are family. Next time you're in Starkville, stop by and see them and their smiling faces, and they'll get you going. Whether it be a game day deal, or maybe you're just in the area and you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe, you can do so at Campus Bookmart. If you can't make it to town and you would love to support a Starkville business, which we certainly encourage, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right, we've gotten the SEC schedule now for the men's basketball. We've got women's stuff we'll talk about in the final segment. But the men's basketball schedule now complete. The SEC schedule announced today. The Bulldogs will open up SEC play on the road at Texas on January 3rd. Be interesting to see. Yeah, Rick Barnes' team's always really good. Yeah, we'll see. Oklahoma in Starkville, that's a flex window right there. We could play Tuesday or Wednesday, January 6th or 7th, kind of depending on TV. Yeah, that TV makes the world go round these days. Is that, you know, Super Tuesday type deal, or is that Wednesday? We don't know yet, but that's something to be mindful of. We travel to Lexington, Kentucky on January 10th. It's a Saturday game. Many of you have always thought about the possibility of going to Rupp Arena, cheering for the Bulldogs. You get a chance to do that. It's tough to get tickets, but maybe worth it. Another flex for us is Tuesday or Wednesday, January 13th or 14th. That's when Alabama makes the trip. And, you know, we should have beat them last year. You guys are well aware. Still upset that the offense, the Alabama bench stood when we were on offense every time down. It's against the rules, but it's a minor thing, but it still irritates me. That'll begin a bit of a homestand for us. Both games that week will be in Starkville as Ole Miss makes the trip January 17th to Humphrey Coliseum. Another flex in the midweek is the Bulldogs head to Texas A&M will be either January 20th or 21st. So again, make your plans accordingly. Vanderbilt will be back in Stark Vegas January 24th. That's the Saturday game. We'll go down to the Maravich Assembly Center. Again, a flex game January 27th or 28th. Take on the Tigers. Man, been a rough stretch. You got to wonder, like, is McMahon, like, is his job on the line this year? I mean, is it? It hasn't worked out. You know, we got the better of the deal. Chris Jansen has put us in tournament every year. They've struggled. We'll make the trip to Columbia, Missouri, January 31st. At times, that's been a difficult trip. Missouri's had some good teams. Another time, we've had some bad calls, but it's always kind of weird going up there. Arkansas, the Razorbacks, February 7th will be in Starkville, and then Tennessee comes in. I guess Rick Barnes at Tennessee now. I blew that, didn't I? Yeah. Nevertheless, Rick Barnes always got orange ties to lean on. But anyway, so Arkansas and Tennessee back-to-back home games the week, I guess I say back-to-back home games, that little stretch there. We get back from Missouri, will be Saturday at Arkansas and Tennessee. So back-to-back home games. And then we return the trip to Ole Miss on Valentine's Day. Of course, that'll be opening weekend of baseball season, so some of you will have a decision to make. My hope is that Mississippi State men's basketball is playing so well, which is, you know what? Hey, we'll come stay in Starkville on Friday, go watch a ball game. We'll go watch the men's basketball game in Oxford and come back to Starkville and finish out the weekend with baseball. I hope that you have to make that decision. I hope it's not. You know, we'll keep up with the men on Twitter. You know, my hope is you'll want to be there. Auburn, another flex date, February 17th and 18th. The Tigers will head to Starkville. We go to South Carolina. It felt like for a while we were playing them like twice a year, all the time. Just kind of how it felt. Only one trip this year. We'll go to Columbia. We'll make the annual trip over to Tuscaloosa February 24th or 25th. And then Missouri makes the return trip to Mississippi State February 28th. We will be at the O'Connell Center in Gainesville, Florida to open up the month of March, March 3rd or 4th, against the Gators, the defending national champions. That could be interesting. And then we close out the regular season slate with Georgia and Senior Day in Starkville on March 7th. So SEC tournament, of course, in Nashville still, which is a great place to have it. That'll run March 11th through the 15th. So, you know, what are your thoughts on this? You know, it's like you kind of work through this, and it feels like, yeah, maybe some things are missing here or there or whatever. But, you know, I don't know. We're getting our regional rivals regularly. You know, we get Ole Miss home and away. We get Alabama home and away. And maybe that isn't always fair. But, yeah, I think we got a chance to beat those guys here this year. Arkansas comes in. We don't return that trip. But I think, you know, by and large, this league has become a bear in recent years. But the fact that we don't play Kentucky twice, I think, is good. That's just my feeling. Maybe you see it differently. We had a really tough trip to Norman, Oklahoma last year. That, you know, that won't be a home and home this year. But, again, you just kind of work through all this, and you think about the home and homes. You know, the Missouri home and home, that's one you feel like maybe we can get, maybe. And you get the Alabama home and home and Ole Miss home and home. And from there, it's just kind of one-offs. But, you know, I'm optimistic about the team, and I was really optimistic about the team last year. And maybe we underachieved a little bit. I know we tried to kind of make ourselves feel a little bit better, you know, but there was a time early in the year that we thought, hey, this is a Sweet 16 team. I'm hopeful, you know, that Hub can play some two this year and not constantly have to run the point. I think that'll give him more scoring opportunities for sure. But, you know, it kind of is what it is. You know, Kanye Clary was not the player we hoped he would be, you know, and then eventually no longer with the program, or at least not in a participating capacity. And then he goes in a portal, you know. And, of course, we were assured all then, you know, with the sources and everything, right? oh, yeah, everything's fine. He's just injured, you know, and then he goes in the portal, you know. So, you know, he's not here now. I'm not sure when our next men's basketball media opportunity will be, but we'll be there to cover that. But now you know, and you can kind of begin to make some plans. And that's the thing I think about as a fan of the Southeastern Conference. Anytime that you can kind of put that bucket list together, right? I mean, like a trip to Bud Walton, right? I mean, to go out and watch Mississippi State play and compete in other venues, I think is super cool. I mean, you keep those ticket stubs, right? I mean, those are moments, you know, that kind of add some color to your life. And so now you kind of have an idea, right, of how that's going to work, and you've got plenty enough time to make some plans for your accommodations. Maybe you have some friends in the area, and he's like, hey, let's all go to the ball game. And it's so interesting, too. You know, we have, I think, grown to a point as a men's basketball program where we expect to win. Reminder, it all gets underway in about 3 months. November the 5th, we'll play North Alabama in Starkville. November 5th, that's a Wednesday, so it'll be an evening game. We hope that you can come out and make it. Of course, you know, men's basketball starts like towards the end of the regular season every year for football. And then as the SEC play begins in earnest, you know, down a stretch around Valentine's Day, baseball starting. So there's a little overlap the whole way through, but for a segment there, you know, men's and women's basketball are going to have the floor to themselves typically through the month of December and January. And, of course, once we get back from the holiday break, the Christmas break, then, you know, we get an SEC play. And, you know, again, there's so many times the schedules come out and we think, man, we got screwed. We're going to be fighting out of the gate. This is one of those years. You know, I don't know if you can say, well, we got screwed, but you open up at Texas, Oklahoma's here, then you're at Lexington, and then Alabama comes in. And so that's a difficult foursome to start with. And, you know, we felt like we should have beat Oklahoma last year. We didn't. We'll get them here this year. But I think you got to feel like, if you can get a split in those first four games, and that may include winning a road game, you feel pretty good about the rest of it. Because I really believe, you know, the next four gives you a chance to kind of get some separation within the league. You got Ole Miss coming here. You go to A&M. We have played well against those guys at times. Vandy comes here. Then you go to LSU. They don't want Hub to get hot down there. So I feel like, you know, once we get through those first eight games, we'll have a pretty good idea of what we're working with. But it could be a difficult start to SEC play. And I don't want you guys to jump off the bandwagon because I think we're going to make a run. Really, because I think outside of maybe Alabama and Florida down the stretch, you feel pretty good about having the opportunity. You know, Tennessee will be tough, but it'll be here. I feel like you're going to have, you know, a chance, you know, to make some hay and, again, make another NCAA tournament. And we really want to get out of the first weekend. I mean, we absolutely want to avoid the 8-9 game if we can. We want to get out of that first weekend and be able to hang some cool banners here. But I'm eager to see what this team looks like once we get a chance to see them in practice. So far, we haven't been afforded that opportunity, but Chris Jans in the past has opened some things up. We'll go observe, and we'll have some observations for you, and we're happy to share those with you when we can. But now you know, and now you can begin to plan. And I'm eager to kind of see where we're picked by the coaches. Yeah, I don't put a lot of stock in the media vote because, as we've learned with football, some of the people don't take it very seriously. But I'm just kind of curious to see, you know, what people expect out of this team. I think Chris Jans had a really good portal class. You know, injuries always seem to be a factor. But I thought we had a pretty good portal class last year. And, again, some guys maybe didn't live up to expectations. But just being around the guys in the short time that we've had, I mean, I can tell you the attitude towards work and the attitude towards Mississippi State has been very good. And I'm optimistic that we're going to make the tournament again and you know, tie a school record for consecutive NCAA tournament appearances. And some of those we kind of got in our way, you know, years ago, as you guys are well aware. We don't need to go back and rehash all that stuff again, but – you know, the thing that I think about kind of going into this season is this the year where Jans kind of gets Mississippi State over the hump? You know, we went so long without having an NCAA tournament team, and now all of a sudden it's like now it's become an expectation. And so with greater expectation becomes even greater expectation. And so it's, I think at this point it's too early to say for sure. And it's easy to get caught up in irrational exuberance, right? Because like, oh, yeah, we're going to do it this year. I've had those feelings before in my life, right? And then all of a sudden, when a team gets on the floor, sometimes you realize that maybe they're not good, as good as you thought. But I think defensively, this team has the ability to be very good. We needed to add some shooters. Chris Jans, I think, again, of all the coaches that we have on this campus, he is a guy that has earned our trust. So, again, I'm optimistic about the season. And I think, you know, hey, we hadn't won a NCAA tournament game in a while. But, again, it all depends on matchups. But how great would it be to get out of that first weekend and play for something of even greater significance? Just making the tournament is great. But I think now our fans are like, okay, we've kind of set a new foundation. Now it's time to build a little bit further. And, again, anytime that you go out and support the Road Dogs, an angel gets their wings. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle where you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. You've put it off long enough, okay? You know as well as I do, we don't get together enough. We say it all the time. It's just become like a rite of annual passage. Oh, I wish we'd get together more often. Well, just do it. Just do it. And how cool would it be to have everybody under one roof? So you're congregating and visiting more so than at the game only, right? Well, we tailgate, right. But you know as well as I do, it's all those in-between moments that mean the most. That's when you really get a chance to find out how people are doing and show how much you love them. Whether it's a family trip, a college roommate's weekend trip, maybe it's a cousin's trip, they can accommodate you. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, you can do your tailgating right there. Save yourself a lot of time and trouble. In addition to that, when you Google the Vegas Clubhouse, Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page auto-populates. And you get the opportunity to peruse all of the amenities available to you and your guest. The full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 3 baths. What's better than that? Plenty of parking, not a lot of neighbors, a lot of peace and quiet. It's for you. Trust me, it's for you. We've stayed there. We love it. We'll probably do it again soon. In addition to that, you have the opportunity, of course, to check out some booking options. When you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, Airbnb is going to come up, VRBO is going to come up, but if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. Promo code BSR10, that's BSR, the number 10, gets you 10% off your stay just by listening to the show. The premier place to stay, the old renovated country club clubhouse, is now available for you and your guest, and it is absolutely outstanding. You'll have a great time there. We did. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, we've gotten a few more pieces to the women's basketball schedule, too. We got a couple of things we're going to talk about before we get out of here. On Tuesday, the SEC released the women's basketball pairings for league play. So we'll go through those real quickly, too. And again, not sure what to expect from this team, but we're going to get started New Year's Day. Now, many of you I know will be at the Mississippi State bowl game. I'm joking. Half, right? But yeah, Auburn will make the trip. A new Auburn staff will make the trip to Starkville. Then we go to Oklahoma January the 4th. Tennessee comes to Starkville Thursday, January 8th. And then we go to Ole Miss. And that's one of those things, too. We always talk about that series. But unfortunately, it's not a home and home this year. The only time that we're going to face them is going to be in the pavilion. So go ahead and make your plans now, January 11th, Sunday, to be in Oxford, Mississippi. Vanderbilt will make the trip to Stark Vegas January 15th. That's a Thursday. And then Kentucky, which has proven to be a pretty good team as of late. They've been up and downs, but they've given us some real fights. That's going to be Sunday, January the 18th. And you notice not a lot of flex dates on the women's side. We'll go to Tuscaloosa, January 25th. And that's probably going to be a very big game when it comes to our schedule. And we mentioned that we don't get the home and home with Ole Miss. We do get one with Tennessee. We'll go to Knoxville, January 29th. Very historic venue as well. Missouri will make the move February 1st. And it's... it's so interesting, to see how many, players like Sophie Cunningham that was a bit of a villain during her SEC career, but an outstanding player. It's kind of become a national name, and in many respects, the face of the WNBA. We'll go to South Carolina February the 5th. That's always a tall task. Georgia comes here February 12th, just before the opening of college baseball. And then we go to Arkansas on February 16th. That's a Monday. Florida comes in on the 19th. We go to Texas February 22nd to see Vic Schaefer. And we might as well stay out there because we're going to see A&M. So back-to-back road games in the state of Texas. And then we close out the regular season with LSU. And so, again, you look at this. We talk about, hey, what did we get? What kind of hand did we get dealt? Well, you know, Tennessee, that's going to be tough. But you feel like we got a chance to kind of get out of the gate strong. That game at Ole Miss is going to loom exceptionally large. The middle of the schedule, I think, in some respects, favors State. But we're going to close it out against some very difficult opponents, as you guys are well aware. You know, I mean, you get, you know, Texas A&M, LSU. I mean, that it's a difficult close. And so there will be some, of course, that'll say, oh, well, we fade down the stretch. Well, we're playing some of the best teams in the country. And, of course, that middle trip to South Carolina is never a fun one. But that's where we are. Of course, there is still a lot to announce when it comes to the non-conference schedule. We kind of broke all that down on Wednesday's show. And then the next day, of course, the SEC makes their big release. So, again, you can begin to start making some plans. And there are some situations, obviously, where you can kind of double up and have a men's and a women's game. Right? That makes it all the more fun, like to go stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Where you'll get in on Friday night, and then you got the men on Saturday, the women on Sunday. Kind of makes it, you know, an event-filled weekend. In addition to going to all your favorite dining spots and your favorite watering holes in Starkville, you can go cheer for the Bulldogs on multiple occasions. So that's a good thing. One of the things that I learned, I've recently done some analysis of the NCAA College Baseball portal. So the portal is officially closed for everybody now. As you guys are well aware, the regular portal closed back early July. And then a few days later, they had this new designated student-athlete situation. And those players had the ability to transfer. Well, none of ours did. And no, we don't know who all was on the list. You know, we don't know. And that information hasn't been made public, nor does it need to be made public. Then those players can practice and play and be full participants. But there are some players out there that perhaps – you know, maybe aren't going to play a lot, and you put them as a DSA. There are some schools out there that have made all their freshmen. Now, the guys that have the DSA label, and this is not just limited to baseball, will have the opportunity to transfer in December in a winter window. It'll be kind of a shorter window, but they'll have the opportunity to transfer and be eligible to play Division I baseball, but not within the conference. So there's still some rules that apply to that. But the deadline is now passed. None of our current players that were on the DSA list have informed Mississippi State officials that they wanted to transfer. They had to do so by midnight last night. And so here we are now, middle of the day on August 6th. So one less thing to worry about. One of the things that I noticed too, less than 100 players actually around the country chose to use the DSA portal window. And only a handful of those had the opportunity to play Power 4 baseball. I think 19 guys, I think, have signed so far. And there'll be some others. I mean, there's no – it's within a deadline to sign. I mean, you've got all the way up, I guess, officially to drop ad date to make your decision. But the thing that was kind of amazing to me – let's see if I can find my notes here to give you some actual numbers. But yeah, you know, I got so many notebooks that I write on the backs of pages and things like that. But guys, it's like 39%. Yeah, 39% of players that entered the portal this year are going to be playing D1 baseball. And maybe not. Maybe D1 is restrictive too much. Maybe it's any level of NCAA. So, you know, 39% of players that entered the portal are going to be with an NCAA program of some level. And that goes all the way down to Divisions 2 and 3. But yeah, 6,000, and there will be like some late entrants, like some, like the schools have 48 hours to enter players into the portal. But when I checked it this morning, 6,249 players entered the NCAA transfer portal in 2025. It's a big number. 2,614 of them have found a place to play so far. That includes NAIA and JUCO type stuff. So as of this moment, or as of the moment that I checked, 3,635 players that entered the portal have not found a landing spot. Now, that's interesting, right? Because a lot of people think, well, you know, the portal's become such a bad thing. What's interesting about this, I think it gives schools the chance maybe to process some players that can't play at this level. There are some other times where players think, well, I just, you know, I want to bet on myself and maybe find a position at a higher level. They don't. And some people have asked, well, Steve, what happens to those guys that go in the portal? Do they get a chance to go back to their old school? Well, not guaranteed. You know, that's up to the school, right? And if the player wants to go back and they want to have him back, then they take him back. But there's no obligation on the school to allow a guy to return. That's completely up to them. And so some would say, well, what happens? Well, these players learn a very valuable lesson about life. And again, there's some guys that were walk-ons, right? They weren't going to play much anyway. It's like, hey, I'm going to go in the portal and see if I can't get an opportunity somewhere, right? And many of the guys that entered the portal did not have, you know, a lot to work with as far as a resume. And that's important. You know, that's important to consider. It's like, well, I'm just going to take my chances. And you may take your chances and you may waste your chances of playing college baseball. And again, it's not always a player's decision. But when you begin to break this thing down, and you can't track that, right? You can't track, well, who made the decision to go in and who was encouraged. You know, we had some players that went into portal on our side that we encouraged to go in to the portal. It's true. We had some others that didn't. Yeah, the one that jumps out to me is like Michael O'Brien. We didn't really tell him to go in the portal. He wanted to go in the portal. He really wanted to stay. And then we said, hey, you know what? Maybe go in the portal and see what your options may be. If you have a good summer, we may still have a spot for you. Well, he's had a great summer, but he's already signed with Arkansas Little Rock. You know, so congratulations to him. But I think that's a player that might have been able to help us. But the flip side of it is, as you look how loaded we are in the outfield, and you begin to wonder, Michael O'Brien may have made the best decision for himself. Michael O'Brien hadn't played a whole lot here at Mississippi State, and I still contend he would have been your starting everyday center fielder at least to open the season had he not got injured, and Bryce would have played left. And then some people would argue, well, you know, having Bryce and Mike both in there and they don't have a lot of power in the lineup, maybe that's not a good thing. So if Michael O'Brien had come back this year with all that we brought in, you begin to wonder how much more would he have played, despite the fact that he's had a great season with the wooden bat. Chances are he probably wouldn't have played much more. And then he wastes another year of eligibility. So in his situation, while it may not be what he initially intended, it may have turned out to be the best thing for him. He'll play every day at Arkansas Little Rock. He'll be a starter there. And Mike, I think, just simply needed to get at bats. You know, that's the thing you look at now. I mean, he's swinging a wooden bat, hitting home runs with it, you know. We talked about before, sometimes you can get fooled. But, you know, when a hitter is hitting a wooden bat and hitting home runs, he will typically be able to do that with an aluminum bat too. On the flip side of it, it's a little different when you're pitching to a wooden bat because not everybody barrels you up the same way. You don't always catch the barrel. But nevertheless, that's where things stand. It's interesting too, and I wrote a little bit about this morning. Georgia, under Wes Johnson, has added 51 portal players over three seasons. They have led the nation in portal commitments in each of the last 3 years. Last year, they tied with Lamar, but they have been number one. Undisputed number one this year with 21 portal guys. Behind them, South Carolina, Gardner, Webb, Lamar had 19. So Lamar, obviously a program that's using the portal rather liberally as well. And you look, you know, again, Vandy was just six, you know. And that was one of the things I popped up too and kind of illustrated. Not everybody is very portal reliant. In this league, you have to be. You're always looking to upgrade your roster. You know, Brian O'Connor signed five players a year the last 2 years at Virginia out of the portal. I don't know if that's acceptable here. I don't know if you can contend on a regular basis without signing a handful of guys every year, especially on the pitching side. And that's primarily what they did at Virginia. Position player-wise, they had a nucleus. So I suspect that he will probably sign more portal players here than he did at Virginia, but probably not at the level of this year. He had to get some guys from Virginia here that he wanted to kind of build the program around, and then you went out and kind of filled in some gaps. And from a position player standpoint, I think we're going to be absolutely loaded. Got to grow up a little bit on a pitcher's mound. You know, we're going to need, you know, Foster, McPherson, those guys to kind of come around. Duke Stone has had a really good summer, you know. So I think the pieces are there. But we got to figure some things out in fall ball. But I think most people feel like that they're fairly optimistic. I've seen some people with their far too early rankings already having State in the top 10. I think when you begin to kind of factor in now that the portals have closed and the draft is over, the signing contracts are done, you can kind of get an idea of what people are returning and to some respects what they brought in. But you never know these young guys. Like, we didn't know 2 years ago that Gavin Grahovic was going to be, you know, the freshman of the year. Nobody knew. There's always that one guy in our league that shows up that just rakes. There's always that one pitcher that shows up and then finds a way into the weekend rotation and becomes a very valuable piece of his program. And so you never know that aspect of it. You never know how a high school player is going to acclimate to SEC baseball. You just never know. There's some guys out there that are real dudes, and there's some guys out there that need some time to develop. So that's something to kind of consider too. But I feel like now we at least have the framework of what we expect each team to look like. And as we begin to kind of work through this, you know, as you know, we'll have some open dates and we'll begin to kind of forecast some of that, what we think the SEC may look like. I tell you, one of the teams out there that nobody's really talking about that I think is going to have a chance to do some interesting things, Auburn. Said last year, I thought they were a dark horse. Everybody was sleeping on them. They end up being a top eight national. They return a lot of pieces from that team. Ike Irish, not one of them. But they've got some interesting pieces. I don't know if they challenge for a top eight, but I think they're going to be in the top half of this league. And they've been able to kind of maintain some roster integrity. You know, they're one of those few teams that didn't have a lot of players leave via the portal, which tells me they're probably doing a pretty good job evaluating talent, developing talent. You know, the team that lost the most in the portal, Missouri and Tennessee. You'd expect it at Missouri. You wouldn't expect it at Tennessee. A lot of those guys at Tennessee were, processed, you know, if rumors are to be believed. But the reality of it is you know, the portal is very much a dicey proposition, and you better know what you're doing. Because if you take a chance out there, you may not be happy with the options that you get. If you hadn't done so, go to DirtyNibbleBook.com. And you can get all my sports titles, signed copies of my sports titles there. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile, and, of course, the dude that has been on the Mississippi bestseller list like 40 weeks now. How incredible is that? Thank you all so much. In addition to that, you can get When the Bottom Falls. And that's probably the book that I get the most messages about. Honest to goodness, I get messages at least once a week, sometimes 2 to 3 times a week. If people have read this book, and the book came out a couple years ago, but people will buy the book for somebody in recovery or somebody that needs to be or somebody that's lost someone in recovery. I get a lot of response to that. And you don't even have to be in recovery or have any connection to recovery at all to enjoy the book. So I'd encourage you to check that out. Come float with us at True West Float Spa of Stark. Well, it's been a really good summer for us, too. And you know, last summer, we were a little bit worried, you know, because Starkville kind of empties out in the summer. But we had a really busy summer this year. And I want you to come be a part of that. And again, let me remind you, for those of you that plan to float during football game weekends, you need to plan ahead. It's not going to be much opportunities available at all for walk-ins when it comes to floating. But you can dial 662-268-7601, speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana. She has answering your questions, and it's been so fun for you guys to kind of get to know her a little bit. You kind of understand why I married her. She's awesome, and she has a great job there. It's so fun when people message me. It's like, Steve, we love Dana. We got a chance to meet her. She's fabulous. She wants you guys to get better. You know, whether you just need a break, maybe you got chronic pain or anxiety, it may be able to help you. And she is a person that was kind of has that. She's a registered nurse, so she has the, you know, the kind of the gift of servitude. You know, she's one of those kinds of people that wants to help other people. She wants this to be something that's impactful in your life, where it improves the quality of your life. It's something that's very important to her. And as always, 50% off right now, running a special 50% off for the month of August for you to come join us over at jeanspage.com. And we wish you would. Knocking out over 10 stories a day, minimum 10 stories a day every day this year. I think maybe right around New Year's we may have missed a few. But basically for 8 straight months, we've done 10 plus stories a day. Nobody's producing that kind of content about Mississippi State. And I venture to say not many sites around the country are having the same level of prolific coverage that we are. And it is a passion for us. It's not just a job. We enjoy doing it. Reminder that the media opportunity for today will be this evening. So, again, this afternoon, if you're looking for coverage of Mississippi State football practice and player interviews, you'll find it this evening. Once we get back, we'll upload the videos and transcribe the stories, and we'll have those up. And, again, if you go to bed early, you can read them in the morning. But they'll be on all my socials and, of course, the front of jeanspage.com. And again, all the big room stuff, we make that free. So you don't have to be a member. You can watch the videos for free. You can read the transcripts for free. All the big room stuff, everything that is available to the full media, we make every bit of that free for you. So whether you can afford to be a subscriber to Gene's Page, or maybe you just choose not to, we still want to be your source for Mississippi State sports. And again, we make that stuff for free. And we'll have it out, you know, before anybody else does. You know, we'll have it out before the Clarion Ledger does, and many times before HealthState.com does. So bookmark us, come check us out. But, of course, now's a great time to save 50% off the annual subscription price. It takes you all the way through basketball and baseball season, through all the portal stuff and football, basketball, and baseball, and really kind of gets you all the way up to the beginning of fall camp next year at 50% off the annual subscription rate. Until next time. Let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.